It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Well, I trust you realize that without order, there's chaos. And this is the reason that God has placed order in our lives and in the world in general and in the universe. Everything has to have an order. It has to be in order where there is chaos. Now, that's the reason there's so much chaos in homes today, I believe, is because there's no order. There's no godly order there. And we've been looking in our study of dispensations, we've been looking at the church, the dispensation of the church. This is number 6 of the dispensations. And we've been looking at the subject of order. And first we see that God is to be number 1 in our lives. And then we see that the order, the next in order is the home. God first, then the home, and then the church. Some people get these things backwards. Some people in church thinks that the church should be first, and some thinks the home should be first, but God is always first, and then comes the home, and then comes the local church. Well, notice, if you would, in the local church, there's to be faithfulness. That means to attend regularly, and that means to be of service. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Our God should be the first greatest reality in all areas of our life. Our home should be the second greatest reality in our life. And our church, our local church that we belong to, should be the third greatest reality in our life. Now, understand this, that number 2, the family, and number 3, the local church, in our study, are to take a back seat to number 1, God, never the other way around. Number 2, the family, in our study, should never take a back seat to number 3, the local church. You've got God, you've got the home, and you've got the local church. Members are the New Testament local church and are to follow the order of the Bible, the King James Bible. Well, as we look on in our study of the church, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, now we've read this, you've heard me read it. It says, "And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Over and over again, I have to say that Peter is not that rock that the church is built upon. Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the foundation of the church. Jesus is the one the church is to be built upon. And I believe that's one of the reasons we see so much chaos today. Once again, the order is wrong in many local churches that we call local churches. And I believe that many so-called local churches are being built upon man instead of upon God, upon Jesus Christ. And we need to be careful with this. We need to pray that God would help us in our local church, whatever church we belong to. We need to pray that God would be number 1 in that local church, and the church would be built upon God, Jesus Christ, and that church would be doing what Jesus Christ wants the church to be doing. Of course, we're to go forth and we're to preach and teach the gospel. Well, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 4, Luke tells us, and of course, Luke wrote the book of Acts under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Remember, God is actually the author of the Bible. And he simply, I say simply, he used godly men of old to pin down what he, God, would have us to know today as we study his word. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Luke tells us how the Lord had told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father. And you can look back later on, if you would, John chapter 14, verses 16 through 26. There it talks about the Holy Spirit coming. Jesus told the disciples he would not leave them comfortless. He would send another comforter. Well, the promise was the gift of the Holy Spirit. which was to be sent from the Father. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the disciples were told that they would receive power to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world when the Holy Spirit came. In Acts chapter 2, we're given a view of God's church at Jerusalem. And as we view this church, several things become apparent about God's church. Notice that the actions, attitudes, and results are seen as the record of the church at Jerusalem unfolds in the account God has given us. Well, the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came as promised. And we read about this in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. It says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Well, we read those verses, and people often stop at verse 4 and dwell on the word tongues. We are not going to dwell on the word tongues right now, but we are going to read verses 5 and 6 that explain what tongues meant. Acts chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Tongue. This is what the tongues, that's what it was about, is so that every person present could hear that Jesus saves, that Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost, that he is the one who is able to give eternal life. Of course, we know that on the day of Pentecost, that the word of God did go out. Peter preached, and the other apostles and disciples preached the word of God, and people did get saved. And we're going to read about that, because God's church is visible. Now, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41, it says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized." That means when they heard Peter's words of the word of God going forth. "And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now keep in mind, some would have you believe that you must be baptized in order to be saved. But notice the order of things is given here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word." Now, if you do not gladly receive the word of God, that means you're not saved. That means you're not happy. You find fault with God's word. But these people who got saved, they gladly received his word. That means they got saved. They received it. "And then they were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Well, notice this. The church was not invisible. People could be seen. Some people don't understand the importance of local church. Well, we see this back in the book of Acts. We see how that the local church is very important. The church was not invisible. People could be seen. People gladly received the word. They got saved, and then they got baptized and became members of the visible local church. This is people, in other words, the assembly at Jerusalem. Notice it says, "The same day there were added unto them," that's the Jerusalem local church, "added unto them about 3,000 souls." Well, who were these people added to? It was added to the local church, the 120 who had been in that upper room praying, and the Holy Spirit came, and Jesus had told them, you shall receive power to be witnesses unto me. And that first order came to pass on the day of Pentecost, when they went out and they gave out the word of God. They had the power of God upon them, and they gave out the word of God. And I would to God today that more of us could have the power of God. Well, we get saved, and we do have the Holy Spirit, but we need to pray, oh God, help me get close to you. Help me, Lord, to have that power that only you can give, that I can stand up and proclaim your word boldly. And might I say, that does not only mean from the pulpit. That means wherever we're at, whoever we are, as saved people, we need to be willing to give out the word of God. These people on the day of Pentecost from the 120 in the upper room, they gave out the word of God. And every person from every nation under heaven, the Bible says, they heard the word as it went out in their own language, so that there could be no confusion of tongues, no confusion of language, because they heard in their own language. That's supernatural. Well, next we see, not only is the church visible, the local church, and I pray that you're a member of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, King James Bible-believing local church that stands upon the Word of God. Well, next we see actions of the local church at Jerusalem. Notice this, if you would, that they continued, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, they continued steadfastly. In other words, they did not waver. They stood upon the word of God. They stood upon what God had given them to proclaim. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Well, notice this. The people were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. That means their teaching, the teaching of the apostles. And when the apostles taught, they taught sound doctrine. That means it's the doctrine that God would have to be taught. Well, why teach sound doctrine? 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Not only was it important for the sound doctrine or the sound teaching of the apostles to go forth on the day of Pentecost, but it's so important today that the Word of God goes forth, sound doctrine, teaching Jesus Christ crucified, buried, and resurrected, Jesus Christ who shed His blood on the cross of Calvary. Now, there's many people who do not believe that the word blood should be used when you're talking about Jesus Christ. And these people they're in error, because the Bible teaches us that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In other words, there's no remission of sin. So Jesus Christ shed His blood that you and I and the people of this world could be saved and one day see Jesus Christ personally and thank Him personally for saving our souls. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Not what we think or what someone else thinks, but what the Bible says, what God says is true. Titus 1:9, "Holding fast the faithful word, as he hath been taught, that he may be able to, by sound doctrine, both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers." It's not only speaking of the preacher who stands in the pulpit once again, in that verse, and it's written to the preacher, of course, but it's telling each one of us who know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior to hold fast, to give forth sound doctrine, to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Someone says, "I don't believe in God." You say, "Well, you're badly mistaken, and one day you're going to find out if you do not trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Call upon Him today. Trust Him as your Lord and Savior, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved."
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org, or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.